Droge?
Ja,
so the question is, an aid is something which is essential, but which does not go beyond the text. Right? Is an instrument an essential aid? No. Is it absolutely necessary that you have an instrument when you sing a song? Do you need it? No. I like it. Okay. So it's no. But what about those that are doing without it? If they say it's essential, if they say yes, it's essential, then you ask them, well, how about those that are doing without it? We sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs every Sunday morning, and even on our Bible classes, and we did a little bit before tonight. I came in at the end of one tonight. We started singing. We did fine without it.
Well, you can do it.
Is it essential? What about those that are doing it without it? That proves that it's not absolutely essential. It is not even needed to get the pitch. Some people say, well, it's needed to get the pitch for the song, you know, all the way through, to keep the tone, so the congregation doesn't sing off key. Well, if that were true, it's not true, because otherwise the players of the instrument, like the piano, if it's used to keep the pitch, would have to play, according to experts on music, a half beat ahead of the congregation. And the congregation would have to play catch up. And you notice that this is the way, now it is true, some congregations use it that way. When I was a Lutheran, attending the Lutheran church, I remember that the organist used to always play, oh, no, no, and the congregation would go like sometimes a whole note behind it. Sometimes a whole note behind it. At least a full beat, or if it was four times, maybe four beats behind it as he's playing. Alright? Because he was trying to show the congregation the tune. The congregation doesn't know how to sing. Because they weren't raised singing Psalms and hymns for the song, praising the Lord with the tongue. But they paid a guy $50 a week to do that. And he's our organ singer. Alright? Then, what is required? What is required in singing, in music? Well, what is required to sing a song of him, a song of him, a spiritual song, is truth. What you're singing must be true. You must use a tone, that is a melody. A tone or melody, making the melody in your heart. You must need a key to start it. Right? When you hear me sing, I'm trying to find a key. So they say, then what would be an aid? And I say, pitch pipe. They go, wait a minute, that's an instrument. No, it's not. That's what they're going. Like a harmonica? An eight-note harmonica? Right? No, I don't do that. I don't use it in my song at all. What's necessary is to find a key. How I find that key? You want to use a piano? Fine. The key. Now you know the key. Now leave it alone. That's in your song. You see. What else is an eight? A book? An overlay, songbooks, and they are scriptural songbooks. They'll say, well, songbooks aren't scriptural. You say instruments aren't scriptural. You better throw out your songbook. You better throw out the Book of Psalms. What's the Book of Psalms? The Book of Psalms. That's what it means. The Book of Psalms. What does the New Testament church sing? The Book of Psalms. That's what even secular history outside the Bible says about the first century church. They sang the Psalms in the catacombs of Rome before they were killed. They sang songs. They say instruments are used in heaven, and they give those revelation passages. As we can see from the entire book of Revelation, their references were not to any literal usage of instruments, seeing that this was a visionary speech, apocalyptic speech, figurative speech. He said, that's the vision, now what does it mean? And I would go ahead and I'd ask him, well, there's Jesus coming with a sword going, wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah out of his mouth and so forth. Let's see, is that literal? Is that what you're waiting for? Is that what Jesus is going to be looking like? Boom, 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 boom. A sword coming out? What? Is that what you're waiting for? No. And is some of the I would say, really, is that a crystal sea? You better not walk too hard, and they shatter. You ever drop crystal, you ever see what happens to it? A million pieces. You know, only 144,000 go into heaven? I'd ask them, I'd press them about some of their other literal things. Shapes of pearl. Oh, really? I thought the elements are going to be all burned up. Now you're saying that they're already in heaven. Crystal sea, gates of pearl, gates of gold. Literally? Is that what you wait for? Literally? Playing the instrument, symbol, songs, and psalters before the throne of God? Really? Besides, there are many things that are happening in heaven. However, this does not necessarily give us authority to practice the same on earth. So what? That's going on in heaven. Let's see what God's directed for us on earth. In heaven, the figure is said to of a crystal sea, gates of pearl. Literally? Of course not. If this was a literal reference to how the church will be worshiping in heaven, then why is there no example for the church on earth in the first century doing the same? Okay? They say, solo requires an instrument. Alright? No. Take this view is now inconsistent with their argument that it was only an expedient. The word did mean, literally, to touch, twang, or rub, or pull, like shooting an arrow or pulling one's hair. The meaning or usage of the word solo changed during the New Testament period. Now, this history bears out. Both in the Bible and outside of the Bible, the word solo took on another meaning. The reason, let me explain this. It doesn't say this in the outline. How did it take on the meaning sing, the pluck of the string? How do you sing? Your vocal cords. That's how it happened. They understood. They already cut people open. They knew the anatomy. And that's how the word solo was used to express. See, the origin of the word did not mean sing. It didn't come from sing. But it was used as sing. Why? Because that's what you did when you sang. You plucked strings. You rubbed strings. You made a noise for your vocal cords. You twanged your cords. That's true. And that's how it was came to a New Testament usage in the New Testament time, both inside and outside the Bible, of meaning to sing. And so say all the scholars on the Greek language. The word solo or other forms of the word have been translated used five times in the New Testament. Once in Romans chapter 15 verse 9, twice in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 15, and then once in Ephesians 5:19 and once in James 5:13. That's where solo was used. Even in the Old Testament, there are different words for singing and playing. In the Old Testament, there was the word shir, which means to sing. It's on the outline. S-H-E-R. Sorry. Means to sing. Then there was the word nagan, like Reagan. N-A-G-A-N. Not quite Reagan. N-A-G-A-N. Nagan. Noggin. Noggon. That means to play. All right, there were different words for playing and singing. And then there was the word zamar. Zamar. Which means to sing or play. Either one. Z-A-M-M-A-R. Z-A-M-M-A-R. Zamar. Which means to sing or play. And it's used in Psalms 18, verse 49. And what does that have reference to? The time the Gentiles would be saved and they would sing. Songs of praise to God. Okay? That's why it's translated so. According to both Greek and Hebrew scholars, then, the word solo requires that the instrument is to be named when it is actually referring to an instrument. In other words, if it is talking about an instrument, the instrument must be named. Otherwise, it's saying sing. It'll have to say sing on a guitar. Then you know it's talking about plucking the strings of the guitar and not your own vocal cords. Right? That's what it means. Unless an instrument is named, it means sing. in usage, both inside and outside the New Testament. They say the Psalms are always sung with an instrument. It is difficult. Not possible. It is impossible. To find a meaning in the verb form which is not in the noun derivative, and vice versa. It is impossible to find a meaning in a noun that is not in the verb derivative. In other words, to sing means to pluck, to solemn means to pluck with a string. Well, they say the psalms, which is a noun, always had to be sung with an instrument because it means to pluck with a string. But since you cannot find that meaning in the word itself, in other words, it is restricted to vocal cords, then so is the word song. That's my first part of the argument. Number two is that the psalms were sung in the Jewish synagogues a cappella. So don't tell me that the psalms were never sung without an instrument. Because according to even Hebrew history, outside the Bible, secular history, it was an abominable thing to try to bring an instrument into the synagogue. Why? Because they considered it a violation to play the instrument on the Sabbath, number one. Apart from animal sacrifice, the day of sacrifice. They considered it an abomination. They wanted to avoid pagan excesses. And that's the condemnation about anybody. Against anybody who says the great faith of Jesus. What were they trying to avoid, the Jews? Trying to avoid paganism. Paganism, use of instruments and worship. And it was only used in the temple where animal sacrifices were made. 2 Chronicles 29, verses 25 and following. So there are many references and long quotations of the Psalms throughout the New Testament without an instrument ever once being referred to or being used. Don't tell me the Psalms always had to be sung with an instrument. Because they were quoted or sang throughout the New Testament. You can find numerous references to the book of Psalms throughout your New Testament. And the next page we'll see some examples of it. We see in 1 Corinthians 14:26 that there were also New Testament Psalms. Singing songs of praise. And then compare, and then there's a list of comparison between the Old Testament psalm and the New Testament quotation. Just a few of them. Alright? Bottom of page 7. Now, page 8. Vocal music was also confirmed by history. In the American Encyclopedia, page 688, it states that the very first attempt to introduce instruments into Christian worship was not in the first century. Oh, the first century, the Apostolic Church, the church that had the apostles in it, did not use instruments. But it wasn't brought into worship until 670 A.D. But it was immediately rejected as unscriptural. Then in 755 A.D., it was reintroduced and allowed to stay in an already apostate church. It was doing many things contrary to the name of Jesus. Then in Chambers' Encyclopedia, volume 7, page 112, it also agrees with this, only it lists the date that it first tried to introduce it is 666 A.D. Wow, don't that tell you something? And the date that was thrown out was 757. It was brought back, then, 757, it was reintroduced and allowed to stay. But it was thrown out, why? Because it was unscriptural, it was foreign to the church of the Bible. And even an apostate church threw it out, saying, this is ridiculous, this is unscriptural. Now, let's also consider the comments from scholars that a lot of denominationalists regard and respect. There's Clark's commentary, page 684. Page 684, said that Calvin, John Calvin, was against instrumental music. John Wesley said that he didn't want it to be seen or heard. Adam Clark said he was dead against it. Alexander Campbell was against it. And even Charles Spurgeon, a Baptist preacher, never allowed an instrument when he preached. Out of the building with it. We didn't allow it in the building when he preached. We reverence, in conclusion, we reverence and worship God only, big words, only when we respect him. His words and his silence and his covenant. We must respect God's word and his silence and him and his covenant. Galatians 3:15. In the passages of the New Testament, which we are dealing with on the subject of instrumental music, there are at least six things that the human voice only can do, which the instrument cannot. And all the passages dealing with singing, let's see, all right, there is an instrument. All right, let's see if an instrument can do this. Speak.
Oh, Jimi Hendrix made his guitar talk.
Oh, I don't think he was talking about Jimi Hendrix and making his guitar talk. Okay. Speaking in song, teaching. Well, what did Jimi Hendrix teach with his guitar?
Wow.
I mean, what did he teach? Right? Teaching. Admonishing. Singing with the spirit and singing with the understanding. I like this. Let me see that. The guitar gets the spirit.
Maybe
I'll sing with the understanding. What does a piano understand?
I need to be tuned.
I don't know.
And making the melody in the heart. There's one thing an instrument can do there, and it can't do it because of its location. And that's in the heart, so it can't do with that either. An instrument can do none of them. However, the human voice can do all of these, and thus, fulfill all scriptural requirements for music and worship under the New Testament. An instrument cannot fulfill any of them. Tell me why you use it. You know, you stop. There's a point for the really powerful answer. Man, you need to stop right there and then nail them. Nail them hard. Don't let them get away. You want some kind of a verbal response that says, yeah, I understood what you just said. And either I'm going to ignore it and I'm going to be dishonest about it, or I'm going to have to answer you on it. If they're going to be dishonest about that, then it's a conversation for them. That's dust-shaking conversation. Start singing.
Stand in the signs of glory.
Okay.
Oh, what an awful truth standing outside.
Okay. Then, however, the human voice, okay, the instrumentalist says that those who will not use the instruments are the ones causing division. This is not true. Now, they'll say it. You're the ones that caused division. You're the ones that broke away from us. We always use the instruments. You broke away from us. But historically, number one, that isn't true. That is not true. For all the supposedly, the forefathers of the Restoration Movement in the United States, they're against it. They're against the instruments. The work and preach and taught against them. Okay? Number two is, who cares? If we find out that you're unscriptural, you're not worshiping according to the New Testament pattern, then I must be joined with Christ. I must divide from error. Because that works true. But that still isn't true, because I'm not the one that's being divisive today. Why? Can we, in truth, worship with an instrument based on what we've studied? No way. I'll tell them right now, I can't. Can they worship in truth without an instrument? You know what they'll tell you? Yes. I'll say, no, wait a minute. I can't with an instrument, but you can without it. And you know something else? So can we. We can worship without it too. So why don't they throw out the source of division, the instrument, so that we can worship together? They refuse. And thus they make themselves the ones who refuse to end division in the body of Christ. They become the divisors. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And that's my study.